welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. Get the pro treatment and design your very own custom Rawlings glove just like your favorite big league stars. Choose from countless patterns, web types, lace colors, and more to showcase your unique personal style. Start with a pro design and change it up with your team colors, or build yours completely from scratch with your name, number, and state flag. Visit Rawlings.com to design your custom glove today. Happy fielding. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. Continuing on the professional baseball side this week for the ABCA podcast with the Pittsburgh Pirates' Kayla Baptista. Baptista played softball collegiately at UNC Chapel Hill and got her college baseball coaching start in the Cape Cod League in the summer of 2021, working with ABCA Hall of Famers Ron Polk, Jerry Weinstein, and Don Sneddon. Baptista got her first pro baseball opportunity with the Texas Rangers working as a roving coach and in the spring training complex in October 2021. This offseason, Baptista took a job as a pro scout with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Baptista has given herself a great opportunity of moving up by having great mentors and doing the little things it takes working your way up the baseball industry ladder, including working for Cressy Sports Performance. Let's welcome Kayla Baptista to the podcast. How are you?
Good, good. Can't complain. I'm on the road right now, so.
Where you at?
I'm covering Durham, but
love it.
Chapel Hill, so.
Okay, cool.
Works out. Yeah.
Sweet. So, are you doing mostly minor league scouting, or are you doing a little bit of amateur stuff too?
Nope, just professional.
Okay. So,
yeah.
That's a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Really it's been good so far.
What have been your thoughts on it so far?
A lot different than player development. Like, almost the opposite. So,
although the ones that love it, they do love it. I was in Cary last week at the USA High School deal, mm-hmm. the Invitational, and it's amazing how many people are still doing it that were, mm-hmm. you know, were around in the early 2000s when I was at JMU. They're like Billy Swope. Like, there's just so many old time ones. It's interesting now because, you know, it used to be the amateur guys would do, you know, amateur scouts, they would do some pro coverage, but it doesn't seem like there's as much of that anymore, which I completely understand.
Yeah.
I get both sides of it. I see how you would want someone just bearing down on the pro side, but I know that the scouts that have done that, I know they kind of miss it a little bit because I think it recalibrates. I think it recalibrates your eyes a little bit if you're watching amateurs all the time. I think we all went through that. Like, you saw it a lot with fall junior college stuff. You know, you'd watch high school kids all summer. Mm-hmm. And then you go to your first JUCO event and they stand out just because they're older. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's the whole scouting deal, and player development. I'm fascinated by.
Yeah. It's sure. really cool.
All right. Here with Kayla Baptista, pro scout for the Pirates, was player development for the Rangers since October, 2021. UNC grad, played softball there, but was with Wareham in the Cape League, but it's worked in a ton of different facilities also. Kayla, thanks for jumping on with me.
Yeah, of course, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
Did you have many options for baseball growing up?
Playing-wise?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, I was fortunate enough to, like, have a game of softball, and I absolutely loved playing that. Besides just, like, watching the Red Sox and going to the Paw Sox games with my family, I actually did play one season of baseball fall ball. I can't remember why. Softball must have not been, like, playing or something, but I did play one season of baseball, and it was a lot of fun. It was different. I actually pitched, and I played short, so it was fun. And I think my sister did it with me, so, yeah, it was a good opportunity.
How'd you end up at Chapel Hill? Not the easiest thing to get to Chapel Hill. For people that don't know, it's a land-grant school, so they only have to take, like, 80% in-state people. So just talk about getting there, and that was coming out of COVID too, correct?
Yes, but you know, the way recruiting works, like, all of that happened before COVID. But so I was actually committed to the University of Tennessee in eighth grade, and then there were some coaching changes, so I decommitted and found my way to Chapel Hill, and I absolutely love this place. I'm actually here right now on the road evaluating Durham, but the Bulls. But yeah, this place is unbelievable. The combination of the academics and playing in the ACC conference and just the championship culture here taught me so much from the very beginning. So really cool opportunity.
Do you feel like early recruiting is a good thing? I mean, that's a big life choice as an eighth grader.
Yes. They changed the rule now.
Yeah,
now
I know, and I'm happy about that too. But, I mean, from your perspective, because you went through it, I mean, as an eighth grader, how do you pull the trigger to go to Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, I was obsessed with the SEC conference. I wanted to play there. I was super excited to play at Tennessee. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, the only thing I was thinking about when I was that age was softball. Like, I wanted to play in the Olympics. I had these, like, really big dreams and goals, and that was the only thing I was thinking about. But you know, as I got older, like, more towards my junior year, now what the rule is, like, I realized that I could have both. Like, I could play at a very high level and get a really good education, and just have the best of all worlds. So yeah, there's definitely a maturity piece to that, and I'm glad they changed the rule too. Yeah.
At what point at UNC were you like, working in baseball is a realistic option for me?
I've always wanted to work in baseball. After my freshman year is when I reached out to teams on the Cape, just sent them cold emails asking, like, hey, like, I'm Kayla, blah, blah, blah. I'm softball player at UNC. Would love the opportunity in any capacity to work on the Cape. And then, what do you know, Jerry Weinstein was one of the only people that answered my email and got back to me. And Andrew Lang, who's now the president of the Cape League, he was the general manager of Wareham at the time. And he was like, yeah, send me some videos of you throwing batting practice and hitting some fungo, and we'll continue the conversation. So I did that. I went to the softball facility at UNC, and I was just taking videos and practicing, and sent them in, and the rest is history.
That's great advice, by the way, to have you film yourself throwing BP and hitting a fungo, because they are skills. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell young coaches that if you can do those two things, somebody's going to be willing to work with you on the rest of it. If you can show that you can do those two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely a plus. I mean, there was a reason why they asked for that, because they needed that. And I was doing it every day. So,
well, yeah, you're three ABCA Hall of Famers that are well on in their career with Don Sneddon, Jerry Weinstein, mm-hmm. and Ron Polk. Yep. So as the old guard, obviously their days are done throwing BP. So it's good to have some younger coaches around there that are willing to do it and can do it. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do is throw batting practice. It's tough.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill. It's once you're an infielder, you tend to be a better BP thrower, is like what I've kind of noticed with the coaches and like stuff like that. Just because of like the shorter arm stroke and stuff. But yeah, just like a little tidbit.
I read that you went to Aruba and coached.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was 2019. So yeah, that was before UNC actually. So scratch the Cape thing. So that was in 2019. A group from home, this guy, I worked out at a gym, like a baseball facility, and he would go to Aruba with his family. His dad was a Cubs like area scout, and they would go to Aruba occasionally, and he just noticed how they needed help with development down there and they needed coaching. So we all kind of collectively decided as a group to start 297 Baseball Academy. We just rented out a stadium in Aruba and just ran developmental clinics. And it was really during that time where I realized that I wanted to do this for the rest of my life, because it was just like, I didn't even realize how long we were on the field until like maybe like months later, like, wow, like I was on the field for like 14 hours and it really didn't feel like that. It was just so much fun, and got a taste of international baseball and the types of players that are out there that have big dreams and goals, and helping them was just the best feeling ever. So yeah.
And you're away from your parents all summer?
That was just like weeks at a time. It wasn't any like long period. I mean, I was still in high school, but yeah, I mean, I'm blessed that they let me go and they let me do that. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do anything in my career without the support of my parents. I mean, they've been rock stars for me, including like my softball career too. Travel ball, you know, it's crazy. I had to go to California, Florida, like in high school, like that's crazy. So just so blessed to have them in my corner and their support. I wouldn't have been able to do anything so far without them.
You've been involved in just about every facet, especially at a younger age. You've been involved with like every facet. You've been in facilities, you've been on the field, now you're scouting. Do you have a favorite so far of what you've done?
I mean, my favorite's going to have to be winning the World Series with the Texas Rangers. I mean, there's no better feeling in the world than being a part of an organization when you achieve something like that. Like, the greatest thing ever. Just, I've never seen so many happy people in like one area at a time ever. It was just like, it was crazy. And that was the best feeling.
Were you able to spend much time with Chris Young and Bruce Bochy at that
point? CY and I have had a few interactions. He is just an unbelievable leader. Even when he's far away, like with the big league teams, because like obviously I was in the minor leagues, his leadership from afar impacted everyone. He would send messages consistently and like use Slack. And it was just the way he said things, like he always stuck by his word, and he really lived by the pillars of competing with passion and being a good teammate and dominating the fundamentals. Those were our pillars, and he led by example every day. He was great.
He pitched in the Cape when I was coaching up there, by the way. And he had an invisible fastball. Like, for his size, from the side, it didn't look like it was coming out very good. Mm-hmm. But guys could not hit his fastball. And he did it at the big league level, too. Like, I would be yelling at our guys, like, I don't see it. They're like, Coach, it's invisible. Like, he got so many swings and misses on just his fastball. And it wasn't great present velocity. But it just, he had that thing where guys could not get to his fastball. It was invisible.
Yeah, that's awesome. He must have had good deception or something, because, yeah, that's funny.
And that summer up in the Cape with those three guys, how much did they pour into you as far as what's going to happen and how things should go? You know, because those are three really good ones to be around for the summer. How much did they pour into you that summer?
Yeah, Jerry Weinstein, I mean, him and I talk almost every week. He's, like, always in my corner. I mean, he's the best. Like, I love that man. And he's
Baseball Yoda. I call him Baseball Yoda.
Yeah. And I know that he's the same exact way with a lot of other people that he comes in contact with. Like, that's just who he is. He is just an 80 grade man and, like, just an amazing human being. And then Ron Polk is just a class act. He's definitely one of a kind. And him and I run into each other at ABCA every year, and he's always there in the front row, usually looking out for some cigar smoke and I can find him. But he's great too. I mean, him and I talk pretty consistently as well, and also in my corner. And the two of them have poured into me, like, unbelievably. Like, to have them and Don Sneddon, rest in peace, as my first mentors really in the game. Like, they taught me the right way to play baseball and the right way to do things, like, right from the jump. So very blessed and fortunate to have them early in my career.
How'd you approach your coaches at UNC as far as this opportunity? Like, hey, this is something I want to do in the summertime.
Yeah, I mean, since it was in the summer, she didn't really have an issue with it. I mean, it was a lot of work. Like, I would work out, hit on my own, and then drive to the Cape because I am from Rhode Island. So it was just about an hour drive to Wareham every day. But, yeah, I would have to get that stuff done in the morning. And I was also taking summer classes because I graduated early. But, yeah, so it was a lot of work. My coach didn't mind because she knew that I would get my work in and do all of it. So that was fine. I would say the biggest thing that she had a tough time with was when I got the opportunity with the Rangers. They wanted to fly me out for a week for an interview during instructional week, and that fell during our fall practices. And she was hesitant to let me go, but she did. I mean, it was a huge opportunity for me to go out there and letting them know I got my first job with them.
I think you understand as a head coach, like, yeah. You can't let that opportunity go for your players. Obviously, fall ball's important, but that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. You can't take that away from your players.
Yeah, so very blessed to have her. I'm actually supposed to see her in a few days since I'm here, but yeah, she was supportive and very blessed to have her too as a head coach.
What were the things that stuck out to you as differences? Spend some time in the Cape, but then you go work for a pro team. What were the biggest differences from Cape to pro ball?
I mean, big differences. I mean, obviously the volume of players and the levels, and, like, they're all professionals. Everyone's a professional. So huge difference in terms of that. Baseball-wise, I was with a lot of the rookie ball kids, so a lot of raw talent. The Cape, there might have been some more, like, older, maybe more polished players, but the raw talent in the rookie ball kids is just, like, through the roof. So big differences, but age played a huge factor, and the difference between college ball and I guess, like, the high school kids was usually pretty evident just because of that, like, polished look. But, yeah, huge differences. But, yeah.
Any of those Wareham guys make it to the big leagues yet?
Paul Skeens. He was on that team.
It's a good one to have.
Yeah, he definitely made the big leagues. And who else? There's a few that are, like, on the cusp. Oh, Richard Fitz, Red Sox. Yeah. I mean, that was a really good team. We were stacked. that whole year, there are a ton of guys that have made their debuts, like, just in the league. during that year of, what was it, 2021? Yeah, that was a really good year for the Cape.
Skeen still have, did he have that type of routine, pregame routine that he has now back then?
So, no, he just started pitching.
That's right, he caught back then too.
Yeah, he was catching. So, like, I was throwing BP to him every day. Like, he was still hitting and catching, and Jerry was doing his, like, catcher early work with him every day. Like, he threw his first bullpen, or it might have been, like, one of his first bullpens, but I remember very vividly in front of the New York Mets came, and he threw in front of them, and I just remember it being this big deal. Like, he's pitching, and now look at him. It's crazy to think that literally in 2021, he was mostly catching and hitting. But
I saw him at the USA trials, and I thought he was one of the best hitters there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his numbers in college proved that out. I just,
yeah.
I asked Jay Johnson that when he was coming. I'm like, you going to let him hit? And he was like, eh. I was like, I don't know, man. It's pretty special. But I obviously made the right choice. Yeah. I've been wrong a lot. Over my many years in baseball, I've been wrong a lot on things like that.
No, his impact is definitely above average, but I mean, there's so many aspects when it comes to hitting ability.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a stud regardless. So,
what do you feel like is the most impactful piece of technology that's available for player development right now?
Good question. I would say TrackMan, because it can track a lot of different things, offensively and defensively. Just like pitching and like hitting, like exit velos, and it tracks everything. So I would say that HitTrax is also really good to have in a cage. I know a lot of organizations have those throughout their affiliates. So. Yeah, TrackMan and HitTrax are two really good ones. And then Hawkeye's a little out of reach for the normal people. But, I mean, of course, Hawkeye's great to have. But I would say those two things are a little more realistic.
With the complex kids, obviously they are really talented, but they've got to work on their fundamentals. I mean, go through kind of a day for people that maybe don't know and haven't been at the complex. Just kind of go through what the day-to-day looks like being at the complex.
Yeah, so the complex league is really fun because, yeah, you get to do exactly that. You get to teach the game of baseball on the most basic level. So, okay, so coaches show up to the field. All right, let's say the game is at 6. In Arizona, the games are usually at 6 p.m. So coaches show up around, like, 10, 11, usually work out, prepare for the day. And then game review or playbook review or like baseball talk would be at around like 12 every day. And before that, the training room would open around 11. If they were on the injury report, like they're required to be in there right when the training room opened. So like lunch / training room is 11, game review, ball talk 12. For the infielders, which is my group, they would have to show up 15 minutes before the first scheduled activity to do their infield routines. So we would meet in the cages or the gym, and we would either play wall ball or do their routines off of a machine every single day, 15 minutes before the first scheduled activity. Ball talk, game review, pretty self-explanatory, playbook review. And then after that, it would depend, but regardless in the schedule, they would have game training or routines, hitting routines for around 15 to 30 minutes. And then, like defense. So like 30 minutes of individual defense. So hitter, outfielders and infielders would split up, 30 minutes of individual defense, usually into game training, which is what we called batting practice. But we just called it game training because it's, you know, more competitive, sounds better. And then that usually included more of a difficult task, not just their routines, like movement, velo, like hitting with the purpose. So that was game training into usually like 3-ish times a week. We would have team fundy, which is like first and third, bunt plays, pop fly priority. Like, this is when we get the pitchers involved usually into like a team defense, team fundamental. And then that usually ended the day on the field. They would either base run during game training, or we would have a base, like 15 minutes of base running just slotted in there somewhere. And then, yeah, they would go in for right before the game, get ready, chill out. And of course, I'm forgetting that they usually have to like work out too. So there's like a 45 minute slotted in there for the gym. So yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in the complex schedule, and you're also there with rehab. So you have to work very closely with the rehab group to make sure you're not overlapping or using their fields. But yeah, like, they're getting all of that stuff done in the matter of like 4 hours before game time. So there's a lot that goes on before the games for these guys. And yeah, they're definitely developing and they're working out. They're doing all of that before they play every single day.
How much do you bring from your infield background into what you're doing with players?
Oh, a lot. I mean, definitely in terms of the routine too, like, I lived and died by my routine, and I also loved enhancing it. So that's why I really loved being at the complex levels, because like, you get to build out the routine that these guys will have with them for the rest of their life. And like, also like, not just having the routine, but like, and letting them know that like, you can change it and you can enhance it too. Like, it doesn't have to stay the same, but if it does, like, that's also fine. But yeah, like, dominating the fundamentals was definitely something that got me very, like, as far as I could. I mean, playing Division I softball, like, I'm 5'2", I'm from Rhode Island, like, I had to do everything right. So I definitely brought that mentality to the players that I coached, and yeah.
Did it take you long to find your voice?
I would say my first year, I was pretty quiet. I mean, I showed up, did the work, of course, put my head down, stayed in my lane, and, you know, two ears, one mouth, like, mentality. And, like, I still have that mentality, but it did take me a little bit to feel comfortable, like, projecting and sharing my opinion on things. But, I mean, the people that I worked with and the leadership there, they wanted to hear from me, and they're extremely supportive. So yes and no, but I mean, I feel like it was good to not go in guns blazing and just feel things out. And
I think you have to. I know everybody wants to interject. Yeah. And luckily I had old guard that I grew up around that were like, hey, just be quiet, and yep, when somebody asks you a question, then you can speak, but
exactly.
Until you get a few years under, and I just think that that's a great tip for young coaches getting into mm-hmm. it, because everybody does want to throw their opinions in, but there's people that have been doing this a long time, and yeah, just out of respect, whether you agree with them or not, just out of respect, listen to what they have to say, and then if things need to be adjusted, you can adjust, but I just think it's the best way. I think that's how you stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't always want to hear that, but you know, that's how you're able to stay in it, because the older guard is going to respect that. And then I think you get more opportunities to speak if you start that way. You're going to get way more opportunities to interject later on if you start that way.
Yeah. Like, the way I showed my value, like, yeah, I wasn't speaking enough, like, or a lot, but like by just like putting my head down, working, like doing everything that quote unquote my bosses didn't like doing. Like, I was the one doing all of that. And Eric Cressy actually gave me that advice, was like, be the best at what your bosses hate doing. And like, I took that and ran with it. And yeah, if I'm not going to be like saying a lot, then I'm just going to be the hardest worker I can possibly be. And that's just my mentality, honestly, when it comes to anything.
And you worked at both facilities with Cressy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How was that experience?
It was awesome. I mean, that was really my first professional experience, being in Florida, like going from the Cape to that location in the off season. I mean, it's just swarmed by professional athletes, and that's just a very professional facility, the way they go about everything that they do. And of course, Eric,
he's been a pro for a long time.
Yeah, just who he is.
You forget, like, because he puts such good content out, you forget how long he's been around.
Mm-hmm.
You do, because he puts out such good stuff, but you forget he's been in this thing for a long time.
Yeah, so that was an amazing experience. There, learned a ton about the way the body moves, how it's supposed to move, and yeah, just weight training and player development in that aspect. That helped me a lot going into my professional career. And even now with scouting, like just knowing the evaluations that they would do there and the things that they put them through to basically test if they're going to get hurt or not. Like, that's so important, especially when we're scouting, to know, like, hey, like if his IR doesn't look very good, or he's not sequencing the right way, like he could get hurt, and just that kind of stuff. So that was an amazing experience that I'm also very grateful for.
What do you feel like is the key to keeping players healthy?
Just a consistent routine. I mean, working out consistently. If you're injured, taking care of that. Get, like, once you're playing or practice games, like always getting your recovery in, whether that be like boots, like if you're able to like get a massage or whatever, like just get your recovery in and keep working out. Even in season, you have to keep lifting and you have to keep a consistent schedule.
And are you staying at just the AAA level then, or are you going to move around the different levels?
So right now in April, I'm moving around, but during the season, I'm covering rookie ball. So I will be at the complexes.
So once the complex start, then you'll be down there.
Yep.
It's good getting AAA in, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're one step away. Like, it's good to get a look at that and then give you some comparisons on the young ones then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely good to clear the lens of what you're looking for when it comes to, you know, the young bucks who are years away from that, or some may not, but yeah.
And you have a little bit of a mix too at AAA, because you have, you know, former big leaguers, you have people that are just hanging on, like it's a wide mix at AAA too.
Yeah, no, especially now, I feel like there are a lot of younger players that are playing in AAA, and AA is extremely competitive as well. So those two levels are just really exciting. Yeah.
How have you been comfortable with using the 28 to 80 scale?
At first I was like, all right, like this is different. I mean, obviously I've never really thought about using this. I've heard about people talking about players that I coached or know and in that type of language. So I was familiar with what those grades looked like in terms of the guys that I was coaching. So that experience was very beneficial for this job right now, but it's been a lot of learning and asking questions and just clarifying to make sure that I know what I'm doing. And I'm pretty comfortable now. It took a little bit. But yeah, just basically working from average. Like, whenever you're looking at a guy, like, let's say his athleticism, like, all right, I'm going to start at a 50 and then work up or down from there. And that's pretty much like how you go about it with all of the grades. And then, yeah, I would just say that.
What time are you getting to the ballpark then? So for Durham, what time are you going to get to the ballpark?
So 6:35 game. BP will probably be around 4, so I'll be there around 3:30, 3:33. Usually try to get to batting practice at least 3 times a homestand. So, yeah, today's going to be one of those days.
Most everybody take an infield, outfield before batting practice?
In the complex, yes, it depends on the organization, honestly, and what they value. But complex, it, like, for rookie ball, I know the Rangers did it almost every single day, right before the game, though. So it would be at, like, 5:30 on the line, 5:40 in and out to the game. But, like, yeah, it really depends on the team and what they value in terms of defense.
What'd you pick up peak performance-wise at UNC? Because I feel like UNC is, like, a flagship institution for peak performance with the amount of championships they won there at men's and women's sports. What'd you learn about peak performance at UNC?
Yeah, I mean, you're just surrounded by champions, championships, like just that culture and very elite-minded people. And that's something that I value and that I want to surround myself with, which is a big reason why I chose UNC, along with just like the academics, like the professors there. And I studied exercise and sports science. So, we were like also involved with a lot of the sports, and the professors like also love the sports. So like every conversation, and like if I wanted to relate it to baseball, like if I'm learning about biomechanics or sports psych, like I can have a conversation with them, and I would like office hours whenever. And I still have great relationships with a lot of the professors, and one of them actually helped me on an interview that I had this past season. So like just like writing letters or whatever. And yeah, I mean, just an unbelievable institution. And now Bill Belichick's there. I mean, I'm from New England, and it's like the best thing ever. So
give some tips on prepping. It's a lengthy process to get a pro job. So just give some tips for somebody that from the outside looking in doesn't know anything about the process. Give some tips on how to prep for that if they do get an opportunity to interview.
If you get an opportunity to interview, definitely go prepared. Definitely do your research about the person who's interviewing you, and come with questions that are about specific to the role. Make sure that you know exactly what the role is. And if you don't, ask questions about that. Because now with roster cuts, there are coaching cuts. And with that comes more pressure to the hiring directors to hire people that they are 1,000% sure that they can do the job, or else like the GM and the director, like their directors who are above the hiring person that you're talking to, will come at them. So like they need to be 1,000% sure if they're going to hire you now more than ever. So yeah, come with questions and be prepared. Like let's say you're interviewing to be a pitching or a hitting coach, or like come with ideas of how you would approach a season. Come with ideas of like how you would approach like every single scenario that you could possibly think of. Like I have a Google Drive, me personally, with that's solely dedicated to baseball, and I have a ton of different folders and things in there for a lot of different scenarios. So put something like that together. But yeah, biggest advice is like come with questions and content.
Yeah. Rachel Balkovec's a big fan of yours, by the way.
I love Rachel.
I'm a big fan of hers, but she's a big fan of yours.
Yeah, she's great.
And I think you've done a really good job of surrounding yourself with great mentors. I think that's a huge part of your path, too, is surrounding yourself with great mentors and people that will pour into you. And I think you've done a really good job with that, of surrounding yourself with some really great mentors, some of the best we have in the game.
Oh, 1,000%. I would be nowhere without the people surrounding me, and just, like, maintaining those relationships, too. I just love talking to them. Like, they're just great people, and, like, I care about them as much as they care about me. It's just, like, having those relationships, I'm so blessed to have them in my life. And, yeah, a huge part of everything.
And getting to work with a different organization, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a great opportunity, too. You're with a different organization. You get to network. You meet new people. You hear different voices. I think that's a good part of it, too, is early on. I think sometimes coaches or scouts or whatever, they get hamstrung with the same organization. I think it's great to get to a different organization early because you get a chance to meet new people and see how a different organization does things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been eye-opening. I mean, of course, like, you spend years with one organization building relationships with all of those people, and especially like the players that you've poured into. Of course it was sad leaving. But you know, like, it's baseball. That's the name of the game. And it's been unbelievable, like, getting to see the Pirates, their process, and yeah,
and
exactly.
They've got good young players in that organization too.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time for the Pirates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their high A is here in Greensboro, so I get a chance to see their high A players come through, and you could tell it's been building for a little bit for them with the talent they've got coming through.
Yeah, definitely. It's been it's only been a couple months so far, but great things to say about, you know, of course it was a leap of faith, like, not knowing what you're going to get into, but you have to do that in your career. Like, you never know what's going to happen sometimes. And just having faith in Jerry Weinstein, it has been a rock for me. And, like, I would be, I don't know what.
Has he impacted you the most so far on this journey?
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry's, like, that's for my person. So, if it was easy, everyone would do it. That's what my dad always says. So,
my dad said it all the time too.
Yeah,
great piece of advice. Do you have a fail forward moment? Do you have something you thought was going to set you back, but looking back now, it helped you move forward?
I feel like there's a lot. I would say, parting ways with the Rangers. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. There were budget cuts and all of that good stuff. No one knew what was going to happen. And then that's when we started reaching out to other teams and figuring out what was going to happen. I'm like, what am I going to do? Right. And a lot of emotions and a lot of unknowns, but I mean, I feel like I'm in a very good spot now. I've really taken, honestly, a step forward with this new role and being more involved with player acquisition and rosters and making a direct impact on an organization. I think it was a huge step for me. And, yeah, of course, I was scared and nervous and didn't know what was going to happen. But now I'm so blessed and, that was all part of God's plan. It was meant to be this way. And
And you look at the people that have been in professional baseball for a long time and have it advanced. They've done both. They've done the player development side and they've done the scouting side. They've done both. And you're getting a great opportunity early on to be able to do both. Not everybody gets that opportunity. It's just, you see front office people, they've done both at some point. They've done player development and they've done scouting. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I was thinking too.
Have you kept any morning or evening routines from when you're an athlete? Working out wise, anything? Have you stayed with it pretty good?
Yeah, working out every day.
What are you doing for workouts? Do you switch it up or you do the same stuff every day?
So, it's actually funny. So when I was in middle school, I would do jazzercise with my mom. And I actually did it throughout college too, on top of my UNC lifts. And I've continued to just do jazzercise.
My sister-in-law owned a jazzercise. Shout out Shayna Brownlee. Yeah, she owned a jazzercise in Bloomington Normal for a long time.
That's awesome.
Shout out Shayna.
People don't really know about jazzercise. They're like, what is that? But I mean, they use new music and it's like Zumba. That's how I describe it, but with normal music. And so, I've continued to do that.
Love it.
Since middle school. So,
What other resources are you diving into? I mean, especially on the scouting side, what resources are you diving into to kind of get caught up now?
Yeah. So we're always reading, Baseball America, Fangraphs, The Athletic, MLB, all of those resources every day just to like get a like idea of what people are seeing and what to potentially look out for. But of course we're writing our own reports and making our own opinions about it, but every morning that's part of the routine. And of course keeping up with the guys that we write up, seeing how they're doing based off of the reports that we write. Not everything has to do with performance. I mean, that's like the biggest part of a scout's job is like, we can't go solely based on performance, but it is important to track and to make sure. Like all of those articles and stuff. And I go on X a decent amount just to like, and I follow some organizations like to post their prospects and stuff. I know the Cleveland Guardians do it all the time. The Red Sox also do that as well. You have to tread lightly on some of those because some of them are really good at promoting. but yeah, like, of course I'm going to look at all of it because it's so important. If you're going to, they're going to give information, take it. So yeah, always reading and looking into all of that.
I still like being at the park though.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Being over at Cary at the USA, like, I don't get to do it a lot. I see more college stuff, but shout out USA Baseball because the high school invitational is 16 of the best teams in the country, and you do see future big leaguers there with the high school kids. So it's good to get to the park and just be there and watch. Yeah, you see so much more of the game and how people handle failure, how they handle success, how they are as teammates. I just think you pick up a lot more being at the ballpark than you do.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, that's why scouts still exist, or else they would just be analysts.
Huge value. Yeah. Shout out to scouts out there. Shout out. What have you thought about the ABCA convention?
Oh, my gosh. I love the ABCA. I mean, first and foremost, just, like, seeing everyone in one spot is awesome, and you're always running into somebody that either you've crossed paths with online, have a mutual friend, or met years ago and you just like meet up again. It's so fun, and the presenters are always great. You're always learning something, and there's always like different things that you can go and watch too, like with all the different areas, and the expo theater is always really cool. And yeah, I love the ABCA. I go a lot and always try to make it a point to go.
Did you have a favorite Red Sox player growing up?
Yes, Dustin Pedroia.
Mine was Mike Greenwell. I'm a lot older than you, so Mike Greenwell. Mike Greenwell was the Red Sox were not very good around that time, but Mike Greenwell was my favorite Red Sox.
Yeah. That organization is really good. I mean, the 04, 2013, like that era was just unbelievable. And I was so fortunate to grow up in that era of Red Sox baseball too. Like that was a huge part of why I love the game. And just from such a young age, I was so fortunate to see championship baseball like from my own home. And it was awesome.
What are some final thoughts before I let you go?
My whole journey, it's been surrounded by amazing people, and I wouldn't be where I am, and I wouldn't be where I'm going without them and my family, and just always pour into the people that pour into you and that don't. Like, reach out to people. Like, don't be afraid to make connections, and because, like, the greatest asset of the game is the people in it. And same thing with coaching. Like, you're nothing without the players. The players are everything. And just always be grateful. Put your head down and work.
You'll never know what a text, phone call, or a handwritten note will do. And that's not why you do it. But if you're in it for the right reasons and you are genuinely trying to connect with people, you'll be amazed at how big your circle. I don't like the term keep your circle small. I don't like it. My circle is extremely big, and I like the fact that I have friends that I've known since I was 5 years old, and I have friends from my last stop. I have friends now from this stop, and I have colleagues. Like, I think you keep your circle as big as you can, but that takes work to stay connected with all those people. But I think it creates a great community when you do it that way. So
yeah,
that's just my two cents. I might be wrong on that, but that's my two cents on that.
No, 1,000%. I agree.
Kayla, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Get back to work. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Of course.
Always fun to interview the newer voices we have in the baseball industry. I feel like I learn a lot and keeps me updated on what is new in the baseball landscape. Best of luck to Kayla as she continues on her journey and to the Pirates this season. They have a lot to be excited about with their young prospects. Thanks again to John Litchfield, Zach Hale, and Matt West in the ABC office for all the help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email at rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok at @coachb_ABCA, or direct message me via the MyABCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you.
Wait for another.